Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's HIGHWAY.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Thank you. Amen. You guys can take up the offering. Just go straight into it. Thank you, Lord, for your provision in this local house, for this local house, for the people, Lord. We are a blessed, we are a chosen people, and we stand on your promises. Amen. Amen. Don't let go of God's promises, eh? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about God's promises and not letting go of them. we've got a lot to get through, a lot of scripture to get through, so I'm just going to get straight into it because I really feel like we need a lot of scripture to back up and enforce what I want to say this morning. So this morning I'm sharing with you a message called The Apostolic Call of the Christian. So, raise your hand if you want to be an apostle. Got 3, 4, 5, 7, 8. Not bad. 10. 10 of you want to be an apostle. That's awesome. Now, I want to tell you that you are all called to be an apostle. There is a difference between the office of an apostle and an apostle, in the same way that every single one of us operate as prophets. Because we speak the words of God, there is a difference between the office of a prophet and all of us who operate as prophets. So, this morning I'm talking about the high calling of all Christians, which is to be apostles. Okay? And I don't want to confuse you, but I just do want to make that distinction. In Ephesians 4, we all know that Jesus gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? You guys all know that passage. So those are offices. Those are gifts which God gives. He raises up people, and he gives these people as gifts to the church to go and build the church up, right? And someone like Joyce Meyer, Joseph Prince, Rob Rufus, Bill Johnson, those are all offices of prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers who God has raised up. I tell you what, just off the top of my head, I'm going to try and name all five off the top of my head. So first one, apostle, I would say Rob Rufus is called as an apostle. Bill Johnson is called as an apostle. Then there's prophets. A very popular prophet for me would be a guy named Chris Vallotton, who's actually the associate pastor at Bethel. Chris Vallotton operates as a prophet. And then apostles, prophets, evangelists. An evangelist would clearly be Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke, clearly an evangelist. And then pastor. Who would be a pastor that I can think of? It's actually a very difficult gift, to be honest with you. A lot of people, I think Bill Hybels possible, but more he stands more apostolic teacher, to be honest. But a pastor is, culturally a pastor is whoever preaches. You know, we all say, who's your pastor? The guy who preaches. Well, scripturally, pastor is a shepherd, and the gift of a pastor is actually quite rare. Zip Nolan. How many of you know Zip Nolan? There's a pastor. That is a shepherd. He's the most incredible gift at just loving people. And then teacher, easy one for me, is Michael Eaton. Michael Eaton is a teacher. Another one is R.T. Kendall. These are teachers. They know stuff like off the top of their head. They can just rattle off scripture, history, you name it. Joseph Prince, Rob Bell. I'd say Rob Bell's more apostolic, to be perfectly honest with you. I wouldn't say he's a teacher. That's just my opinion. Joseph Prince, your apostolic teacher. But anyway, it's all subjective, right? But those are just people that God has given to the church to make the church stronger. Amen? But now when it comes to the call of an apostle, that's every Christian. And I want to run through a couple of scriptures and just have a look at this call that we as Christians have. Luke 6:12-13 says, "One of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him." So he already had disciples. Now he calls them, he chooses 12 of them, and he designates them as apostles. This is an interesting verse because all of a sudden they are no longer just disciples of his. They're no longer just following him and listening to him and every word he says. They are now being designated. You are designated as apostles, my 12. You are designated. So that's interesting. So what did he mean? Well, in the Greek culture, the term apostle means one who is sent away. The literal meaning in English is an emissary. What does an emissary mean? If you don't know what that means, it means it's an agent sent on a mission to represent the interests of someone else. Follow with me. In the Roman culture, which was the ruling empire of the day, the Roman Empire would send apostles to the various countries that they had colonized, right? So they had colonized all parts of the world, and they would send apostles who were leaders. They were strong leaders. They were victorious warriors. They were studied people, and they knew Roman culture inside out. And they would go to these places that Rome had conquered, and they would establish Roman culture in that area. So they were representing Rome. And even though they were no longer in Rome, they were now there to bring the culture of Rome and bring all the blessings and the technological advancements that Rome had discovered. Things like running water, things like good sewage, roads, all those things which Rome had pioneered, they were now bringing to the various lands where they had colonized. So they were representing another culture and establishing that culture. So now we get to see that Jesus is taking his disciples and saying, you're no longer just disciples listening to every word I say, but I'm commissioning you from our headquarters, which is heaven, and I'm commissioning you to go and establish the culture of heaven wherever you go. So they are agents on a mission to represent the interests of our King, Jesus. So the more general meaning of the word apostle is literally translated into Latin as missio, and from this word we get missionary. And obviously we today in our culture, again, culture so often loses meanings, but we think missionary is someone out there to go and just preach the gospel. No, that's an evangelist. A missionary is someone who is going on a mission to establish the culture of heaven. That's why so often missionaries around the world would go and they would set up hospitals, orphanages, schools, feeding schemes. It's not just a case of preach the gospel. It's about go and establish a culture of heaven. These people are sick. We need hospitals. These people are hungry. We need to teach them how to farm. These people they aren't educated. We need to educate them. So a missionary is someone who's on a mission to establish the culture of heaven. Now I want to show you some verses which are going to reveal to us our mission. I just want to show you a perspective of heaven, because so often we as Christians, and in the last 100 years especially, I tell you what, the last 1900 years, the church was doing so well. We realized that it was about establishing the culture of heaven. That a missionary movement in the 1750s, right the way through to the 1800s, 1900s, was a beautiful thing because missionaries were going and establishing cultures of heaven. Sure, there might have been a bit of a hook to try and get these people saved and what have you, but they were building hospitals, they were building orphanages, they were building schools, which is what we were called to do. In the last 100 years, we've become so focused on heaven being a way that we just want to get people saved and we leave people, which is what the church should be doing. We should be establishing people for this life, not just getting people saved, but it's so much more than that. It's about bringing the culture of heaven to earth. Not trying to populate heaven. Oh, yay, it's another notch in my belt. I got that one saved and I got this one saved. You understand? So have a look at this. This is what the Bible shows us about heaven. Revelation 21 verse 2, John sees the holy city, the new Jerusalem, not the current Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. Won't you say that with me? The new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is a key word for us as Christians to understand. We've so mixed law and grace. We've so mixed Jewish culture with Christian culture that we forget there is a new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Where is heaven coming from? Where's this new Jerusalem coming from? From above. It's coming where? Down to earth. Right? Isn't that interesting? Heaven is coming to earth. This is what John saw. He saw heaven coming to earth. He doesn't see. So we take 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul says, we will be caught up in the air, the rapture. We so often take that rapture, 1 Corinthians 15. We will be caught up in the air. And so we think it's us going up to heaven. But when he says caught up in the air, I think it's just heaven coming to earth. It's such a supernatural explosion that it feels like we're floating. We are caught up in the air, in the glory of God's presence. And this is actually the true theological understanding of the end times, which is heaven coming to earth. Not us being raptured away to heaven, but heaven coming to earth. We have missed it, church. And you've heard me talk about this for so long, so I mustn't go down that road. I must stay on my topic. Right. Then Galatians 4, 25 to 26, Paul, again, this is all about law and grace, and he says, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. So where is our mother, our headquarters? Above, correct. And according to Revelation 21, above is coming down. Amen? Are you following? Now we have a look at what Peter said in 1 Peter 2, 9 to 11. And I've got the King James Version here because I want to have a bit more of a literal translation. And I will read it in as best English as possible so you don't fall asleep if you're under the age of 35. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but you are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. The key words there for me in what I want to share with you this morning is strangers and pilgrims. We are strangers and pilgrims. So, according to what Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you are my apostles, I am sending you into the world. In the same way the Romans would send their apostle into another culture to establish their culture in those areas, we are strangers and pilgrims sent to earth to establish the culture of heaven. So we take that verse so often as Christians and we say, oh, we are strangers and pilgrims, this is not really our home. Our home is heaven. But then we've got to look at Revelation 21, which says that heaven is coming to earth. So it's not so much a case of, well, you know, I'm a stranger and pilgrim, this is not really my home, you know. Actually, it's going to be. So it's not a case of me trying to hide from you guys who are the world, but it's actually me going, hey, guess what, world, you're going to become like me. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim here for a purpose. Now I want to look at this, the Greek word of strangers and pilgrims. The first Greek word is paroikos, the King James uses the word strangers. Your NIV or ESV may use the word aliens. But have a look at this. Let's just look at the meaning of the word paroikos. Firstly, dwelling near or neighboring. That's a beautiful thing. Because you may live near a crime-ridden area. You may live near an atheist. But your household is a certain way. Right? So just because the neighborhood around you is full of crime, or the neighborhood is full of Buddhists, doesn't mean that you have to be a Buddhist. Your household is established, right? So you are just a neighbor, and you're there with a purpose. In the New Testament, a stranger or a foreigner is one who lives in a place without the right of citizenship. So, guess what? This means you no longer have the citizenship of earth, but you now carry a new passport, which is the passport of heaven. Do you understand? You are now a British citizen living in South Africa. Or an American. Thank you, Dave. Now, isn't it awesome? Let's think about that for a second. We can stop there. If you're a British citizen and then you marry a South African, within a few years, if you live in England and following the various rules, that South African citizen that you married can become a British citizen. Isn't that just a beautiful picture? That actually we are here on earth holding heaven's passport, and we can include people into our family, and eventually they'll get heaven's passport too. One who lives on earth as a stranger, a sojourner on the earth. Christians whose home is in heaven. So our headquarters is heaven, right? But we've got to go back to Revelation 21, the very first verse of the morning, which is heaven is coming to earth. Well, I'm glad that one person got it. I think people, guys, whenever I preach this stuff. So if you haven't got it by now, I'm joking. I know it takes like 10 times to get something sometimes. Right, so the next word that Peter uses is pilgrims, which in your NIV or ESV would be stranger. The Greek word is parapedemos, one who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside there by the side of the natives. The word natives there kind of gives us a picture of Christopher Columbus and the Europeans who went over to America, and they were living amongst the natives, right? So it's interesting. So we've got natives of earth. And now we are no longer natives of earth, we are natives of heaven, and we are living alongside them. We're strangers in reference to heaven as the native country, one who sojourns on earth. I hope you're following with me. Okay. Now, if you're a Christian, you are an apostle. Say, I am an apostle. You are commissioned. You are not just a stranger and an alien who's walking around waiting for the United Nations to swoop in and pack you all onto the plane and fly away. No, you are here to colonize. You're on a mission. This is not just a game of wait until you get saved. This is a case of you've been saved, now come in and colonize and establish the culture of your headquarters. If you're a Christian, you're an apostle. Now we've got lots of verses, so we've got to follow and hang in there. They said to John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." So you may take what we read earlier where Jesus called his disciples and said, "You are designated as apostles," right? So now John is saying, "Hey, but these guys, this guy's casting out demons, and he wasn't designated as an apostle." So Jesus says, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. If you are doing the work of the Lord, you cannot blaspheme against the Lord. For the one who is not against us is for us. Truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward." It's not about, I haven't been designated as an apostle. No, you have been called. It doesn't matter whether you are one of the original 12 or not. You've been called to do the work of the Lord, which is from as little as giving a cup of water to someone right the way up to healing someone of leprosy and casting out demons. Now I want to show you Paul's calling. We've got to remember that Paul wasn't one of the 12. He wasn't. Even after the Judas was replaced, Paul wasn't replaced in the original 12. Paul wasn't one of those original 12 called and designated as an apostle. I want to show you how Paul wrote. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Now, in the original story in the book of Acts, where the apostles and disciples are praying, what happens is the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit says to the disciples, "Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas." How many of you know that story? set apart for me Paul and Barnabas, because I have called them and I'm commissioning them to go. Right? In that text, it doesn't say make them apostles. We actually can't find a scripture where they were made apostles. No, God called Paul as an apostle. So it's not about, oh, I don't know if I've been called. You're an apostle because you are an alien and a stranger representing another culture. And according to the original meaning of the word apostle, we, like Paul, are apostles. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Verse 5, through whom we, say that with me, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among where? All the nations. It's right there, it's as clear as day. We have received grace and apostleship. And that's why Steve asked me to share this word following on from the last 4 weeks of grace. Because where to from here? What do you do once you understand grace? I promise you, when you understand, when you truly understand the new covenant, it so sets you alight and sets you on fire that you truly see your purpose. It's only when I got grace that my view of the end times changed. Before I got grace, it's so easy to live under a mixture of law and grace and see this whole, I'm just waiting, I'm an alien in another land and I'm holding on tightly and I'm waiting for the United Nations plane to swoop in and rescue me out of this coup-ridden country, this dark world. Then I got grace, my eyes were open, and all of a sudden I started asking questions. Hang on a second, but if I'm 100% righteous and I've been set apart and I am made as Christ is in heaven, so am I in this world, then what? What does this mean? That means I'm here for a purpose. And that's why we're following on from 4 weeks of grace to understand that we have not only received grace, but we've also received apostleship. Then, so this is only Romans 1. He wrote so many different books. I'm not going to go through all of them. In Galatians 1, he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me. The glorious mystery of our calling as apostles revealed in Ephesians. Okay, this, now it gets like, really, you got to hang on there. Pop your Ritalin if you haven't yet. Because we are about to go through Ephesians 1 and 2. Are you ready? Let's go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. That's all of us because we're all saints. If we were in that church, he was addressing the saints in Ephesus, but he means the saints. If you're a saint, you're included in this message. Blessed be God, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How many spiritual blessings do you have? Every single one. You have every spiritual blessing, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You already are holy and blameless. He chose you to be holy and blameless before the foundation of the world. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters. In him, we have redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, making known to us his will, according to his purpose. Now we're starting to see you have been saved for a purpose. You have been given a heavenly citizenship for a purpose. You have been brought into the kingdom of light with a purpose, which he set forth in Christ. So he started this purpose in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things, say all things, all things, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Now that's a massive purpose, and I can stand and preach here for hours and try and figure this out, but the truth is we can't. The prophecy of Scripture and the truths and the mysteries of Scripture are literally a mystery. So I'm preaching gospel here, but we can't fully understand. But I'm telling you there's something in that where we have been commissioned to unite all things in heaven and on earth. Colossians 2 also talks about Jesus on the cross reconciling everything. Now, how does that work? I'm not quite sure. What I do know is the church needs to rise up and start living out its purpose. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Friend, you have an inheritance. You, my friend, have an inheritance. My friend in the orange jersey, is that a Kaiser Chiefs shirt that you're wearing? Very nice Kaiser Chiefs shirt, my friend. I'm afraid that I'm a Pirate supporter, so sorry for you. But my young blonde friend, you have been called to a purpose. You have a purpose. The Lord has called you and He has saved you, and you have an entire lifetime ahead of you to literally change the world. And that goes for every single one of us. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance. Even though you're a chief supporter, you have an inheritance. Isn't it amazing? But really, we have an inheritance. Jesus died to give us an inheritance, and the Bible actually says that inheritance is the whole world. I can't wait to get to my favorite verse of this whole thing right at the end. Just remember this, verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1, we have an inheritance. For this reason, for this reason, that you've been saved, that you've been called to a purpose, that you have obtained an inheritance, that you have a purpose, for this reason, I pray our Father may give you the spirit of wisdom, because we need wisdom about how we live this life, and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It requires supernatural revelation to understand who we truly are in Christ and to understand how we step into our purpose. Holy Spirit, would you come and give us revelation to step into our purposes in this life? And revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What is the hope that you've been called to? What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in your life? What is it? What is that one thing that you've been called to? What is that thing that you need to be working on right now? May you know. I pray the Holy Spirit would show you that you may know what it is. General term is you've been called to be an apostle to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. Specific stuff, Holy Spirit, show us. Verse 19 of chapter 2, I think it is. No, it's probably the next one. So we're still on verse chapter 1. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might? That He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Chapter 2, but God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 11, therefore remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. All of a sudden we're starting to see that colonization, different citizenship symbolism coming through. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So you weren't in the citizenship of heaven. Now you are in the citizenship of heaven. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens of heaven, but you are fellow citizens with all the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. How beautiful is that? I hope you start to see that it's this beautiful, and it goes on in chapter 3, it goes on to say about the manifold wisdom of God being revealed through the church. And we see that it's this beautiful conglomerate of the people of God who have been called as His citizens to come together and to make the household of God. It's like when we start coming together in unity, in love, and operating in the purposes that God has given us, we are getting closer to the day when Revelation 21 is fulfilled, where heaven comes to earth. Amen? Or have I lost you? Now, let's have a look about our commission. What is this commission? So we're apostles. We've been given a new citizenship. We're representing another realm, another headquarters, if you like. And we know that it's coming to earth. So, what is this commission? Well, Jesus, right at the beginning of the New Testament, reveals a complete paradigm shift for how we should pray. The Jews were so closed, it was all about us. We don't look at, on the outside of those who are Jewish. And Jesus comes along and he says, we are here for a reason and a purpose. And he says, this is how you must pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I mean, already a paradigm shift. He's Dad. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the paradigm shift of the new Jerusalem, which is that it's no longer an excluded Israel nation, but it is the earth must look like heaven. Church, we are here and we've been given a commission, and Jesus wants us to pray, Father, your will be done. We declare your will on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Church, we should be praying for the revelation prophecy to be fulfilled every day. Lord, I declare your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I can't wait for the day when we see your kingdom established on earth. I am declaring it. And you know what? The more you declare it, the more you'll want to see it, the more you'll do it. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us, etc. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So these things, after the key point, I believe those first two verses, verse 9 and verse 10, are the key points. The rest, after that, are while you are doing your job, the Lord's going to provide for you. Ask for provision. The Lord is forgiving your sins. Forgive others. And as you are a stranger in another land, don't be led into the temptation of how these other people live. Amen? Now, we see this next commission. Then Jesus gets his disciples and he says this to them. And he called his 12 disciples and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Say that with me. Every disease. Say it with passion. Every disease. Every disease and affliction. He gave them authority to heal every disease and affliction. Guess what that means? That means there's not a single disease on planet Earth that is God's will. Because if God, if Jesus wants every disease and affliction healed, then that means that there is not a single disease which comes from him. Every disease and affliction must be healed. And he gave us authority, and he sent us out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You start to see healing, establishing the things of heaven is all about bringing the kingdom. You see, they are doing this, and they are saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You are sick, I want to tell you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because in the kingdom of heaven, there is no sickness. You are afflicted, I want to set you free. I want to bring peace to you. Because in the kingdom of heaven where I am from, there is peace. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Come on, that's what it is all about. It's about receiving abundantly and giving freely. And then we know Matthew 28, right at the end, when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, he commissions them again. And this isn't just to his 12, this is to all the disciples that are with him. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I love that because it's not go and make disciples in the nations, go and make disciples of the nations. What does that mean? Well, it's not about trying to make a whole bunch of people saved. It's about discipling entire nations, changing entire nations, changing the culture of entire nations. Will we see North Korea become a free and liberated nation? Well, I believe we will. Will we see Saudi Arabia liberated from the bondage of Islam and the religious strongholds that hold so many of those people, especially the women and children? Will we see it happen? We will. It's going to take serious faith. It's going to take serious people who understand their purpose, but we can and will see it. We've already seen China start to turn, slowly but surely. It's only a matter of time, church. The children of God are here, and we are here with purpose. Go and make disciples of the nations, not in the nations. So what is available in this kingdom? Healing and wholeness. 3 John 1 verse 2, John writes, "Dearly beloved, I pray that you would be healthy and prosper even as your soul prospers." Being a child of God is not just so much about, well, you know, I'm sick, but praise the Lord, my soul is happy. No, your physical body can align with your soul. Healing and wholeness is one of the attributes of the kingdom of heaven which needs to come to earth. A sound mind, peace, people who are anxious, people who are confused, people who don't even know who they are, people who are depressed. The Lord wants to give you a sound mind. Strength, Romans 8 verse 11, the Holy Spirit gives life to your mortal body. The Lord wants to give you strength. I can even tell you that right now. The Lord gives me supernatural strength. It's a crazy thing. I don't know how He designed it. But I have been sick for the last 24 hours. It's horrible. It's like the devil goes, "Oh, you're going to preach on the kingdom of heaven. Okay, here's a little zap of hell for you." Oh, really? Because if it's not from heaven, then it's from hell. And then you get up to, and I know I might be a little bit late, get here at 9:01 because I'm so behind in my prep because I've been sleeping so long and taking tablets and just trying to get through. I know I'm going to be a bit late, but I know that the Lord has called me to preach this gospel. And I'll be here on time, ready to preach because the Lord gives strength to my mortal body. Peace. Supernatural peace in the storm. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know how we're going to get through this financial difficulty. I don't know how we're going to get through this economic turmoil in the world. I don't know how we're going to get through this Zika virus. I don't know how we're going to get through what's going on in Zimbabwe. The Zimbabweans are stressing and fretting. I don't know how we're going to get through this. Well, my friend, just get peace, because that's a promise of the Lord that is due you as a child of God. Love. The kingdom of God, Romans 14, verse 17, Paul actually says the kingdom of God is peace, love, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, if it's just those things, if we get those things, that's all you need. Peace, love, and joy. Many psychologists will tell you people who live in peace, love, and joy do not get sick. Because they're at peace, they don't stress, there's no internal subconscious stress, their immune system is strong. They are joy and they're happy. Happiness is actually proven scientifically to increase and strengthen your immune system. Now, is this natural healing? No, God was the one who created the healing process in the first place. Who's the one who created the immune system? God. Oh, James, you take tablets. Well, my friend, I've prayed and nothing's happening, so I'm going to go to option two, which is tablets. Which is, God gave doctors wisdom and revealed to them supernatural ways to mass produce this incredible drug, which comes from a plant which God placed on the earth right in the beginning anyway. And now millions of people across the world can be healed because of this tablet. Hey, it's option two, but I'll take it. Now, I'm not saying that we trust in tablets before option one. Option one is, Jesus, I'm walking in divine health. But there's nothing wrong with going to option two. Why do you think in Ephesians, Paul said, I pray that the Lord would give you wisdom? You need wisdom. If you're praying, and you're just dying away, wasting away, and you're praying, but you haven't actually gone to the doctor, maybe it's time to go to the doctor. Because do you know how many doctors are actually firm, believing Christians and believers who God has ordained to help? Guess what? The writer of the Gospel of Luke and Acts was a doctor. And he was one of the 12. Sorry, I don't know if I'm clapping. It sounds a bit strong there. Sorry. Abundance of provision. Philippians 4:19. Heaven has no lack. There is no lack in heaven. I love the thought of the Garden of Eden before the fall. Literally, you would put something in the ground, the next day you'd have fruit. My wife and I have been trying to plant a tree on our verge for 4 years. And we have tried and tried. We're on our set. We're not giving up. I tell you what, we are not giving up. We have tried and we've tried, and the one fever tree died. Fever trees don't die. They are the most natural flipping plants in South Africa. But it died on my verge. The fever tree died, so I was like, well, stuff this. I'm going to move it. I'm going to plant something else. So I plant an acacia, which is a derivative of a fever tree, and it starts doing all right. And we notice, actually what's happening is, looks like little rats are coming and eating at the bottom. So the fever tree, we just gave up. Guess what? It started coming back. We started figuring out what was wrong, and all of a sudden the fever tree starts coming back. And I'm not giving up, because I live in a fallen world, and I'm a representative of another world, which is the original world, heaven, and I'm not giving up. But I tell you what, I wish I could be in the Garden of Eden sometimes, where I wake up and my fever tree is this big. And that is what we are called to, church. We don't give up. We keep pressing in, but I promise you, you will see abundance of provision. Don't give up. Don't give, oh, James, I don't have enough money. I don't have this. Well, stop worrying, because peace is your portion, and just don't give up. Keep going. Your time has come. And now, one of my favorite verses, we can finally get to it. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 5. Dave, if you can come up, please, Brew. Deuteronomy 5. This is just such a beautiful, beautiful verse. Again, it's written to the Jews, but we know that we receive the promises of the Jews through Christ. Verse 33, Deuteronomy 5, verse 33 says, walk in all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days. Some translations say that you may have long life. Prolong your days. Get this. This is one of my favorites. In the land that you will possess. I find that a beautiful line, because we are representatives of another land, and we have been commissioned and sent to another land, but we will possess it. This earth may have been taken over when Adam and Eve were sold alive from Satan, and this earth got taken over and a new kingdom was ushered in. I don't know how it works, but what I do know is Satan may have stolen it, but I will repossess it. We are coming back. We, the children of God, are coming back for our land. And we're going to need very long days to live it. We're going to need health. We're going to need strength. By golly, we're going to need a lot of money to do it. But we are coming back, and we are repossessing that which the enemy has stolen. So right now, I want to pray for people. If you want a miracle in your life, I want you to stand. A healing miracle. A family miracle. Financial miracle. Maybe you just want wisdom and revelation. You know, it's one thing to have miracles in our lives. It's another thing to have wisdom to sustain the life of a Christian and an apostle here on planet Earth. We need wisdom in abundance. Just raise your hands right now. I want to pray for you. Lord, as we go into this song, Lord, I declare healing in this place. Lord, I release healing angels to come and stand alongside your representatives of heaven, Lord. Your citizens. Lord, we should not be living in sickness. We should not be living in darkness. We should not be living in lack. And I declare miracles in this place. In Jesus' name, right now. Let the fire of God come. Let the Spirit of God come and manifest in this place and heal the children of God. I declare and release healing in this place. Healing, 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 healing right now in Jesus' name. We command every spirit of affliction. You have no right to be in this place. You have no right to be upon the people of God. And we declare your time has come. Leave now in Jesus' name. We release the healing power of God to come and manifest and give strength and give life to everybody in this place. Cancer, go in Jesus' name. Cancer will not manifest in anybody in this place in Jesus' name. Cholesterol, go down. Cholesterol, go down in Jesus' name. Blood pressure, normalize. I declare blood pressure to normalize in Jesus' name. Depression, go. Go right now. Chemicals in the brain to be imbalanced right now. Come back into alignment. Come back into balance. Come back into the kingdom of the head of heaven now in Jesus' name. I declare depression go. Depression go. Bipolar go in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit come. We just welcome your presence here in this place. We welcome your presence in this place. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We exalt you.